Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome to Liku Studios Podcast Roundtable number 27, E3 2013. So what's up?
Well, E3 happened.
E3 happened.
It was possibly the best E3 we've had ever.
Huh. Actually, before we jump into that, I do want to tell people who are listening. There's been like maybe a couple of month absence from episodes, and that's because Ryan and myself have both gotten jobs with wildly different schedules, so we haven't been able to get together to record. Hopefully we can crack down on that a little bit and get some stuff up, which is why we're here today to talk about E3. Why is it the best E3? Tell me how you came to that conclusion. Is it because of Watch Dogs?
That's a part of it, a huge part of it, but that's not it. A lot of things ended up happening, such as the new Smash Bros. Everybody was looking forward to.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it had Mega Man, so you're probably right on that point.
There was also Mirror's Edge 2 everybody was asking for and never got up until now.
That's true. I don't know if there was like a big clamor for it. Like, I'm sure everybody is glad that it's coming. I know I'm super interested in it, but what was that? I don't know if it was like Dying Light. That's the one I'm interested in, actually.
I don't remember that one all the way, but yeah, there were a lot of really good releases that they announced. A lot of which are actually debuting as soon as the new systems come out. The new systems being PS4 and the Xbox One.
The Xbox One is the dumbest name, right?
Yeah. Everybody's come to that conclusion.
Okay, just kind of all around. Like, I know their whole thing is they're like, we're coming up with a name that's going to impart the idea that we wanted you to have, like, one unified experience. So it's the One. But we already had an Xbox One. It was the original Xbox, like, for starters. Second of all, it's just everything about that machine has been disappointing so far. Hey folks, this is a message from the future. I just wanted to jump in real quick and let you know that this episode was recorded maybe about a day or two before all of the Xbox One DRM revisions went live, you know. So a little bit of what we said is sort of out of date based on what they changed. I don't know if it changes enough, at least from my opinion, because they already made their first impression. They already let you know out front what they were trying to go for, and now they are backpedaling to try and respond to crowds. But if everything they're doing towards what you want is not what their original vision was, then, you know, they're going to do the correct thing after people complain about what they tried to do. That's, you know, they already put that foot forward. I would not be surprised to see that going along. Now, let's go on with this podcast.
Yeah, they put a lot more restrictions than things you can actually do this time around, and a lot of people are considering forgetting the Xbox One altogether and getting a PS4.
Yeah, if anybody asked me which one they should get, I'm straight out telling people they should not get an Xbox One, because the things they are doing with it, it's a vote with your wallet situation. Like, they are doing things with it which are not smart, that they should not be rewarded for, and that if it was encouraged would ultimately be bad for the industry, I think.
It actually led, what they're doing right now is what led to the 3-month crash for the PlayStation Network, in which what they're doing is, for the Xbox One, you cannot share games, you cannot trade them, you cannot sell them. Every game you get must be verified with a code into your system, and they can only ever be played on your system in your account. Which means, if your account ever gets banned for any reason, you forfeit every $60 game that you've ever bought because you did something that you might not even have done.
I'll give you that there is the case that, like, if somebody hacks into your account and it gets banned because somebody else had taken it over and was using it for nefarious purposes, that does super suck, but like, I don't know how many people, like, I'm going to have to guess that the majority of banned accounts have happened because people were just being dicks or doing shit that they shouldn't have been doing, like, on their own.
Right, but that means even if you pay the full price for your game, they take it away like it's not even yours. which means you literally never get to play it again. If you, say, a curse word on an online match, they report you, and you get banned. And you're like, oh, well, I didn't really mean it. That was just a joke.
Well, then you shouldn't have done it. Like, that's... this gets into, like, failing standards of society or, like, double standards and shit, and that's more fucked up than what Xbox is doing. I'm not going to pin that on a new thing. Like,
it's just the fact that you don't own your games at this point. It's more of they own them, and they're letting you play them. Because, as well as all that, Xbox One is implementing the fact that you must always be online. You get 1 hour of offline play a day. And they've literally said, if you don't have a stable internet connection, go back to the 360.
That is the dickest thing, just saying that their offline solution for the Xbox One is the 360. Like, which is fine, because I already have a 360, and clearly I don't need an Xbox One, if that's what you're saying your solution is. Like, it's...
Exactly.
There are things about it, though, because from what I've been hearing from developer interviews, is that what's actually happening is that their whole, like, cloud service is actually way more than just storage this time. Like, there's actual, like, computation and processing power that games can access in the cloud. So they're building that... Even single-player experiences are being built with the expectation that you have extra processing power in the cloud, which you do only have if you're online. So the thing is, even single-player experiences, even though they're not multiplayer online, they are computationally online. So in a sense, even if you're playing a game by yourself, you are using their online services, which developers say is actually going to let them do a lot of cool things and be able to make bigger, cooler, fancier games. But it also does mean that, like, you are not, it is not an offline box anymore. You can't play it in a vacuum. It's not that they're just not letting you play it in a vacuum. It's that the games cannot be played if you can't go online, just because of the expectations and what they're doing with it. Like Microsoft is giving them this extra cloud power, and the only thing you could really do is if developers choose not to use it, which means they're not going to have the best games and they're not going to take advantage of the system. And apparently it's also not even that hard to really use this power, like, you know, making games for the cell processor on the PS3 was. So that's not the issue. Like, you can do it. It's easy enough to do it, you know.
The thing about that is they've made it all around easier to make PS4 games. Because, see, this, what they're implementing with the Xbox One right now, all of the restrictions, all of the only online play, PS4 tried that with, I forget what game it was, but that's what led to their entire crash for 3 months, where they gave everybody, two free games. So they decided they weren't doing that, and they made it more open. The Xbox One is restricted in 21 countries. Yeah. Two of them including China and Japan, which means a lot of game developers are already eliminated. And the PS4 is also doing things to make it more friend-oriented, more wide open to do more things with. I mean, Watch Dogs is debuting day one for that. So, overall, the Xbox 4, I mean, the PS4 looks a little more promising.
The PS4 absolutely looks more promising. Like, one thing that they did sort of subtly slide into their presentation is that online play is no longer going to be free. So it's going to be the PS Plus is going to start acting like a gold subscription on the Xbox 360 does. But right. Like, beyond that, they're just having good games, and, you know,
they really are.
They're having very simple to make hardware, and they're encouraging indies to a lot of their publishing. They're making that friendlier towards indies. I mean, I remember when the PS4 reveal came out that there was almost an uproar over the, what is it, transition to real world friends, how there was going to be a bigger emphasis on using your real world name in whatever social services they have on there. Like, people were really, really sort of incensed about that, and I'm not sure whatever happened to that.
They could still be implementing it, but not requiring it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's like Twitter. You probably have a username, and then you got to put in a real name, but they don't actually check it or anything. Although, you know, if they do have all the stuff tying into Facebook and to other social networks, they may try to pull it in from there. But anybody who would really care about that probably doesn't have, you know, a real name on Facebook either. So,
And in the midst of all the smoke and flames that went on at E3, Nintendo stood there on top of that roof, looking down, thinking, ha, you peasants. The Wii U is pretty solid now.
It's not yet. Those games, you know, we have yet to see those games. I mean, you have a Brawl, yeah, they don't really have a suffix on this one. It's just Smash Brothers Wii U, isn't it?
Well, they've...
Also, they're making a 3DS version, which I'm curious to see how that's going to work out.
It rivals the graphics of Melee. It looks like it's almost even better than Melee, so...
Lower resolution, but as far as, you know, texture, density, and stuff like that, yeah, it's looking pretty powerful. That system is a decent little system. There's good stuff on it.
Wii U is actually... It's getting there. Once all these releases that they announced for E3 come out, it's going to be... If you had to choose between the three systems, Wii U would be up there. There's also Bayonetta 2. Arkham Origins is coming on for it. Watch Dogs is coming on for it.
But the thing is, the people who are going to be playing Watch Dogs, anything that's multi-system, the Wii U is not where people are going to play it. Like, it's going to be on the PS4, you know, let's be honest.
I mean, I'm considering it.
The thing is, like, I look at that box, and even with everything they announced, the only things I'm really interested on it are Bayonetta 2 and Monster Hunter. Like, aside from that, you know, everything is sort of a known quantity. Like, yeah, there's going to be a new Smash Brothers. We know what Smash Brothers games are like. They're going to be highly competitive. Like, there are going to be people who buy that system and a copy of Smash Brothers, and you could basically weld the loading tray shut, and that is the system. It is going to be a Smash Brothers box. But, you know... They talked about a new Mario 3D World, which I'm curious about, but I don't know how that's going to work. The way that game was very good for, you know, chunk size levels. Everything worked well for a handheld system. If they just sort of follow a Galaxy sort of setup structure, then that game is going to be pretty good because Galaxy was fantastic. But it may... I don't know. I just can't imagine sitting down with that game, especially since they're going to try to make it 4-player, and it could take some work, and that could be really, really good, but I don't know if it's a system seller because it's, you know, iterating on the handheld version and, you know, iterating on the game from last year. Like, they haven't done anything with Mario to blow it away anymore, which Mario is what it is. The only thing that they, you know, when was the last time they tried that? Was something like... Well, the Mario RPGs are out there, and those are good by all accounts. And there were some people who liked Super Mario Sunshine, but that, you know, isn't what they kept going with.
Well, with Nintendo, one of my friends raised this very good point. Nintendo has been around longer, it's been making more money, and there's a distinct difference between Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. Microsoft and Sony are competing with each other. They're neck and neck trying to outdo each other. When one person says, oh, we have HD graphics, the other one says it too. Oh, we have Blu-ray, the other one says it too. They're not really trying to think out of the box, but with the Wii U and Nintendo, they're constantly just trying to make things that people like to play, like systems that are new and different, trying to find the newest thing, bringing back characters everybody likes, trying to do different things with them. Nintendo is in its own field just for sticking to that game plan. And but, with that, they're bringing in a lot more recent releases, too, like Watch Dogs.
You can't look at New Super Mario Bros. U and how, I guess there was like 3 or 4 of them, technically, and they're all identical and not very good.
I mean, I wouldn't consider them, but...
But that's kind of what you look at. When you look at a Nintendo system, you look at Nintendo first-party games, which, you know, is their main franchises. You have a Mario, a Zelda, a Metroid, maybe. You look at stuff like that. And then anything that's multi-platform, you don't play on the Wii U. Because even though, you know, they aren't... The reason that Nintendo isn't competing against Microsoft and Sony is because they are, you know, generally making more money than either of those two systems. The reason they're making more money is because they have been around longer. They're more established. There was a time in our past when people didn't say, I'm going to go play video games. They said, I'm going to go play Nintendo, because that was the system. They've been around that long. But also, like, they're also not competing for that because they're making more money, both because they're established and also because they have the technically weakest system every time around. They do try to get away with doing the outside of the box things, you know, the motion controls and now the second screen stuff, but it is different, but at the same time, like, their cost per unit is so much lower. Like, they hardly ever take a loss, even if they don't sell as much. It's not that they're selling more, it's that they're, you know, they're losing less. They're making more money on the less that they sell. So in a sense, they're winning, but there's a lot of things like they are not the best, but they are winning in a sense.
I would,
if you want to look at it that way.
I'm just saying, if I had to choose between the three and the games that each three are offering, Wii U looks just about the best rounded out. So it might be up there if I have to choose.
Would you really, like, knowing that you could be playing it on a PS4, would you really say I am absolutely okay playing Watch Dogs on a Wii U?
I might be.
But just, like, that game is going to be, like, a visual powerhouse, and everything, like, the Wii U has a number of things going for it, but just, you know, the issues that they have with, like, profile moving and stuff like that, and what was the other stuff? I've never seen anything that ever said that they fixed the load times on that system, because everything, there was a lot of, you know, gameplay demos when that system first came out, because that was the last time there were games released for it, and every single time, the load times were just, like, unbearable. Every single time, like, you can play games on that system, but they're, you know, if you're going for a system that you can get all your stuff on, yeah, Wii U is probably a good idea. But if you're looking to have, like, the best experience with a few games that you want, it's not going to be that, unless you're just into, you know, Brawl and Zelda,
right,
and
so,
Monster Hunter, I guess.
So specific games now that are coming out?
Sure, yeah.
All right, I don't know a soul who's looking forward to the new Call of Duty. I don't know a single soul.
But did you see that dog in that mocap suit?
Did you see those fish with those swim away physics?
If we have to wait another generation to see fish in mocap suits, I'm going to be a little sad.
Oh my god.
It's just a single ping pong ball right on their face.
He's someone you care about. What'd you say? I think he's hurt. What's wrong with your gills?
No, we had... Oh, right. I was going to say, we had a game already where you care about a dog, and that was Dead to Rights, I think that game was? There was just like a contextual bite him in the junk button. So, oh, you know, game of the year again, I'll give it to it.
I mean, it's not doing anything that has not already been done, literally.
No.
It's next gen, alright, good graphics, okay. But it's like... How many times are you going to make the same game?
So the thing that I've learned about the Call of Duty games, at least all the Modern Warfare Black Ops iterations of them.
It's entirely fanatical at this point.
What you do is you look at it as a Madden game. You know, any one of those serial, like that's the thing. That is an annualized franchise now. Like, they put out a new one each year because people will get a new one each year. Because it's not that they're... You know, if they change the guns around a little bit and they do some rebalancing and, you know, maybe they throw in something a little different, like, okay, that's fine. It's, you know, it's your roster update. It's your all of that. Like, it doesn't matter what they're going to do with the story because, like, if it wasn't that, you know, people had an expectation of Call of Duty games now, I really think that they could, you know, fully get away with having, like, basically the next Call of Duty game be two releases and have like the multiplayer game and the single player game, and you could sell them, you know, on separate discs, $30 each, and just there are people who, like, you know, for the past two or three of those games, buy the disc, put it in, literally never touch the single player campaign. They play it as a multiplayer game, they play it as a social activity, they play it to hang out with their friends and to go on live and call people or whatever, and That is how they play that game. They are not playing it because it is any better than the last one. They are playing it because of, you know, whatever zeitgeist over the new release, and, you know, it's the new thing. It's the one everyone else is playing, so I'm going to play it because I want to play with them. That is the only reason that they can release a new one and it will still sell tons of money, which is a little gross, but that is how that works. And I really don't know why they haven't done just like a digital only, multiplayer only version of that. I think they could totally get away with that and just be like, yeah, all right, it's your new, like, it is the new Counter-Strike. In a sense, it's Counter-Strike for console players.
They could, but they would lose money because people pay full price and people get, like, all the exclusive $200 stuff just to get the game and brag to their friends, like, yeah, got Prestige Edition. The case was metal. Like, all right, it's a little overdone at this point. Let's see, you got Call of Duty 1, good war game. Call of Duty 2, good war game. Call of Duty 3, good war game and awesome online play. It was the first one to do it. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, that was revolutionary. It was awesome. It was modern, HD graphics, good guns, ready to go. Modern Warfare 2, alright, yeah, still good. Fixed up a few things, got a new few weapons, that's solid. Black Ops, alright, come on. Black Ops 2, come on. Modern Warfare 3, no. And here we are at Ghosts.
Actually, I do have to say, Black Ops 2, for what that series has been, did a couple of new things that I really appreciated. They had, like moments of story branching in the single player that could lead to... They did that surprisingly well. They did it in such a way that when the story branched, if you weren't aware that there was a branch there, you would think that that was just how the story progressed. Like, they made a story with multiple paths and multiple endings that felt completely natural no matter which path and ending you got. And that was impressive. The fact that they did what did they call them? They had those missions that were like half RTS, half first-person shooter, which were...
Special Ops?
The Special Ops. They were totally broken, but they were pretty cool. Like, those were actually some of my favorite things in there, just because it felt different, and it did weird things. And it was just like, here, we're going to just drop a little mech dude so you can go fight as him and then command your dudes around from in there. That was really, again, broken, but it was a great idea, and you could expand upon that and make something, you know, really great out of that. They had, in the online mode, they had League play, which... I don't know if that was in any of the previous games, but it's something I've always felt it needed, because it's just the online multiplayer. It had, you know, ranked matches and better more detailed matchmaking, I suppose. But also it was, everything was unlocked. Just, there was no progression bullshit. You didn't have to worry about who was, you know, too proud about prestiging. It was just, here's everything, play exactly how you want, out the door, and it's just pure skill competition. And wasn't that also the one where they did a lot of that, like, Twitch streaming right from the game stuff, or was that... Modern 3.
That might have been Modern 3, but I don't remember for sure.
I mean, like, I don't know if that... that must have gotten used, but people, you know, streaming their games, streaming their lives, making their demo reel, doing whatever. Like, that's stuff people had been doing anyway, and that was just, they were, you know, latching onto that and making it easier, trying to make a better way to do it. So, like, that one actually did do some things that I thought were pretty cool. That's also where they had the slotted system for perks and stuff, and like trade off, and just like, you know, get all the perks you want if you go in with just a knife. That system was really good. That's the only one of those games I've ever bought was the first one, just because I needed, you know, like an HD shooter when I got my 360. Like, I bought that with the console because that was one of the best things that there was at the time. But since then, like, I haven't cared about any of them except Black Ops 2 because of whatever I just rattled off.
That's the thing. Just, they do things to make their games better. Just, it's not enough for another release. Like, maybe an update, maybe DLC, but, like, you change a few guns, change a few perks, call it a new game. It's like, no, come on. You can do a little more.
I'm telling you, the majority of people who play that game, they could change nothing. They could change almost literally nothing, put out a game with, like, you know, a bigger number or a different subtitle, and it will sell. It will sell purely because it is the new thing, and so that is what everyone will get and continue to just play it with each other.
Exactly. Can't really respect the series anymore, to be honest.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you should respect it. I'm just saying they're going to do it, it's going to work, and there's a reason why. It's not a good reason. It's not a reason that makes me happy or that you shouldn't be depressed about, but that it's not like it doesn't make sense.
Right. Other releases, there is huge controversy about Metal Gear Solid V.
Because of Kiefer Sutherland?
There is Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain, and then there's Metal Gear Solid... what's the other one?
Oh, I don't even know. I thought it was like 5 and... No, 5 is Phantom Pain, but then there's something like Twin... There was Ground Zeroes, maybe?
Ground Zeroes,
except
that's what
went
it
away.
Is.
I thought there was something that was like the Twin something. Twin
Snakes is the second game ever that they made. Or the second one for the PS2, I believe it is.
No, Twin Snakes was the GameCube remake of Metal Gear Solid.
GameCube?
GameCube.
Ah.
With, and I don't know if you'll get this reference, but a lot of the action-based cutscenes were recreated and redirected by the guy who directed Versus, which is a crazy movie.
Oh.
Worked on by Silicon Knights, so there's also a lot of references to Eternal Darkness in it.
Well, nice.
For whatever that's worth.
Lots of controversy about what is even happening in Metal Gear Solid V. It looks like it's going to be amazing.
I cannot wait to get my hands on that game. It's a Metal Gear game, so it's going to be great, but I can't get behind the Kiefer Sutherland trade-off. Like that voice does work for that character, but after, you know, like 7 or 8 games with the same voice actor being the main character, like, they can't come up with, like, a good enough reason why he's not doing it again. The only thing I can come up with is that they're actually doing some sort of bluff, and, like, the snake that we see in the game using Kiefer Sutherland as the voice is, like, actually, like, already, like, an evil clone. Or there's this whole thing about, you know, there's going to be a period where Snake is in a coma, and a lot of those scenes seem to have some sort of, like, black chunk sticking out of his head. So if you want to say that, you know, the voice of Kiefer Sutherland is the voice of Big Boss after having, you know, certain serious amounts of brain damage, maybe I could believe that. That's my bet.
Or right now, we're not playing as Big Boss. That's a huge possibility at this point, because they've said openly the new protagonist that you're playing as puts his hair back in a ponytail. Snake always had his as just a, he just had it out.
Yeah, but you've seen that trailer, right? Like, that's Big Boss. Everyone's referring to him as Big Boss. There is a part at the end where, you know, they refer to him as Punish Snake, which, you know, if you want to do that, I believe it. Like, and there is this idea that, you know, eventually, you know, they have to finish the character arc where he becomes the bad guy for Metal Gear.
In every trailer for any Metal Gear Solid game, they give you the bare minimum to get hooked. But then you start playing it and everything starts happening and your mind just starts tearing apart. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
I don't know. Like, the biggest, weirdest, mind-blowing things about that game in the very Kojima style is probably going to be with whatever those... the ones that don't exist were, you know, your Cobra unit stand-in, I guess. If I were to guess, it would come from there. Because, like, even in a ponytail, I still think that's, you know, he's interacting with Kaz and Ocelot, and I think, you know, Ocelot refers to him as the legend, so, you know.
Well, lot of things happen. Like, the loss of his left hand, the being in a coma, the getting that huge chunk in his head. Like, a lot of things are happening, so there are a lot of twists that can go down that we just cannot even perceive right now. And with the loss of David Hayter, they were saying they wanted someone more just older, gruffer, more realistic. David Hayter kind of had a comical tone to his voice, like, kept you waiting, huh? Instead of kept you waiting, huh?
I mean, yeah, but the thing is, like, if your argument is that you want to change, like, the tone of the voice, I don't think Kiefer Sutherland's going to do it for you. Like, I've seen a lot of 24, and if that's, you know, what they're trying to go, if they're trying to make a move with Snake to something, you know, less tongue-in-cheek, I don't know if Kiefer Sutherland's the way to go. Like,
they've actually released audio of him voice acting, and it's pretty good.
It was in the trailer. And like I said, I think it could fit the character, but, you know, for what they're claiming the reason behind the change is, it's not clear enough in that direction. Like, it's not a big enough change I think would merit it. So I think whatever reasons they're giving are actually a bluff. Like, and if it's not, then that's a little disappointing. I don't think it's going to be a big loss. The game will still be fine. It'll still sound okay. But there's going to be a thing in the back of my mind the whole time going like, yeah, it works, but it's not a big enough reason to have changed it. Because, like, Hayter, you know, is kind of goofy, and that's one of the things he's known for. Like, he's a cool guy that way. But, you know, like, the whole game has always been goofy. And, like, if they're changing the tone of the whole game, which from all the torture in that extended trailer, it seems like they want to do that. But, you know, there's still going to be crazy stuff in that game. They're calling it the Phantom Pain. Like,
I mean, Kojima he's never taken the Metal Gear series lightly. He does everything for a reason, and the game always comes out, like, 10 out of 10. It even, for Peace Walker, it's a PSP game. It got Game of the Year. That's a little amazing.
That game was really good. I still play that game.
I'm actually planning on playing it by this week. I'm really hyped up for Metal Gear Solid V. I played the third one, Snake Eater, a few months ago. I gotta say, that was amazing.
Yeah, no, Snake Eater is fantastic. It might actually be my favorite out of the first three.
Yeah, it's really good. So, yeah, Kojima takes a lot of pride in a Metal Gear. He makes no decision for no reason. So if Snake is involved, we can expect nothing less than excellence, no matter what happens.
I don't know if I would even believe that the change is a decision from Kojima, but then again, like, I don't think there's enough out there for us to call too much more. Like, we've seen what we've seen, and it's going to be great either way. Like, just right. From the having vehicles, it's still going to be stealth action. There's still CQC, so, you know, it's going to be a great game. I'm dying to play it. It's going to be another Metal Gear. That's great. We can work out the specifics once we get our hands on it.
Then there is Watch Dogs, we've been talking a lot about.
Yep.
Assassin's Creed, modernized with an Android phone that can manipulate any piece of technology around you to change the streetlights, to get your victim into a car accident, turn the lights on and off in a building, to turn the water on and off for the alarms. It looks really good. You're in Chicago, open world. A lot of people want it.
Yeah. Like, as long as that game goes deep enough in, like, how many little specific things you can affect, then it'll be great. They showed that the one gameplay demo that, you know, showed a couple of things, like showed manipulating stuff around some dude's apartment to help distract guards so that the guy could sneak out. They showed, you know, doing streetlights and crosswalks and stuff and doing blackouts, like...
And multiplayer.
Well, they didn't show... They showed the tablet-based multiplayer, and that theme of tablet-based stuff, like, all over the convention, I'm curious to see how all that works. Like, if that's all going to be, like the girlfriend co-op type stuff, then I'm fine with that. I think that stuff's all pretty cool. But, it's also stuff that, like, you know, ultimately can't be that exciting because it's by nature, has to be optional and so won't affect you if you don't have it. It's not like, you know, this is a killer thing that you need a tablet for. I don't think anything will use it that way.
Well, no. With the co-op play, their camera set up all around the city of Chicago. When you get in the game, you can mess up the person who's playing in nearly any way you want by hacking them or manipulating things around them, like foiling their plans, getting them arrested, getting them killed. You have almost just as much power as they do. And when you chime in, it's almost a battle of who notices each other first. And in that, you can also, I believe you can use your phone to text a number to some system, and you can manipulate something in somebody else's game for them. So you can be like, yo, give me access to this building right here. You text a number to someplace, and you got it. I think it's going to be really successful. It looks very innovative.
I'm curious to see, because they showed the tablet sort of multiplayer, but I'm curious to see about, like, full, like, you know, two people on two consoles type multiplayer, about, like, how does that weave in and out? Like, are you going to see other people, is it going to be like APB where you see other people running their missions, you know, and having a chase down the street while you're over here doing your thing? Is it going to be like a Burnout Paradise, like you drop into somebody else's game specifically and then you have, like, a small group who are
either
doing all their thing or... That could still be pretty cool. That's the thing. If you want to start putting that game as, like, having, like, versus battles about who can out-hack the other, like, that's the thing. Like, the game doesn't seem like it's going to be big on combat, and, like, it's not really like Assassin's Creed because it doesn't have the, like, you know, all the traversal kind of stuff. But if it's just, like, who can be more clever about using any of the, like, thousands of things in the environment that are right next to you all the time, that will be fantastic.
I think that's exactly what it's about to be.
I hope it is, but like that is a huge undertaking to just make the world that interactive. Like, you can do a lot. You can have, you know, have every NPC have their little blurb about who they are, but at some point it's like, you know, it's easier to make the sort of passive stuff that you can just discover. Like, it takes work, it takes creative writing and what have you, but doing that and... Like, I almost wanted to be like Spelunky.
Like, what do you mean?
Because Spelunky is a game that is entirely about, you know, here's a simple mechanism, it has specific rules about how it works, and it can, you know, it can set things into play that interact with everything else. Like if you had, like, a cell phone in Spelunky and could set off traps on other players, or, like, turn out lights in certain areas, or... That is kind of the game that I would hope it to be. Just all about, like, you know, this world is inhabited by tiny machines, with each with their own like rules and ways in which they interact with the rest of machines in the environment. And just, you have to make the right decision about which ones to turn on and just be clever about how you make them interact. But that's, when you're making open world like that, and when, you know, you're playing with a modern setting, like, there is so much that they could do and so much that maybe they could forget to do that I'm a little worried that I'll be underwhelmed by what they put in there. Like, I'm sure what is in there will be cool stuff, but it's not going to be just to, like, hack it. It's going to be thematically hack anything and hack everything, but ultimately it's going to be, like, hack cameras and streetlights and then, you know, get in a car because it's an open world game.
There's also... go on.
But that's probably just me being pessimistic, though. So, again, we'll have to see. I'm excited for it. I want to play it. But I think I've probably built it up bigger than what it's going to be.
Yeah, most of the games that come up with that kind of upbringing of you can do everything, you can do anything, you can do all the stuff. They say that, but then when you play the game and you're trying it out, you're like, that doesn't work. No, I can't. What? I'm so limited. I don't want that to be how it ends up. So I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm not going to give it more credit than it deserves.
You know what did kind of pull that off, though? Super Scribblenauts. That is a game that is not underwhelming. It overwhelms you, but then it's just weird because it's just like, it's always just like, get the star and you can solve every problem with like some combination of like parasail and big fan. But, you know, again, if you make that like a competitive thing and who can be better, like, I don't know how many people remember this, but even something like, there was a couple of multiplayer modes in Banjo and Kazooie Nuts and Bolts that was really good because it was all about like, here's a simple goal and you have lots of really wacky ways of getting to it. So it can be done well. We just gotta see where it goes.
Yeah. There's also several other games a lot of people are looking forward to. New Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. New Final Fantasy, mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts. Granted, that looks like it's super, like, it looks like they made half of a test level.
Well, have they given the release date yet?
No, like, even in that trailer, it just said, now in development. Which means somebody's got a notebook open, and in the middle, it says Mickey Mouse, and it's been circled about 3 times, and everyone's just staring at it, just trying to think what else to put on the page.
Well, right. At least they're not going to give you some date that they're not going to live up to. But that looks promising.
Down in the corner just says Riku ?
Riku.
That, like, I've never been a big fan of the Kingdom Hearts games, but they can be fun. They're like mechanically pretty solid. I'm curious about the Final Fantasy 15 because it looks like that is not going to be a game that uses any sort of menu driven battle system, which means I'm back in interest.
I actually know somebody that was working really hard on the game that brought in a lot of ideas. It's going to be... Have you ever seen Sword Art Online, the anime?
I have not.
It's very... Well, first of all, my friend made sure that each character didn't have that kind of overdramatic style of, like, having a shirt with an entire sleeve ripped off, having huge, weird-looking... Like, it didn't add any of that. It looks like the main character is a normal guy, black shirt, black pants, black shoes. Looks pretty normal. But with the power of manipulating swords to summon as many as he wants around him to help in whatever he does, he can also teleport. And you get those more and more of those abilities as you play throughout the game, and you get more and more powerful. So, like, in the trailer of the game, the main character was teleporting on sides of the buildings, like in Bleach, teleporting all the way down to the ground, having like 20 swords just surrounding him, making a blockade, blocking every bullet. It looks really good. Like, it's going to be a little bit like Metal Gear Rising, that run and gun style of play. It looks very solid.
It'll be curious because, like, it did look like, it looked like there was like a lot of swimmy camera stuff, and it looked like it was sort of sacrificing like player agency for just making huge freaking things everywhere that are super dramatic. And ultimately, I guess that's fine. Like, I'm like, again, like, as long as I'm actually sort of moving around and pressing buttons to do things, then I will be interested in it for all of that big crazy stuff. The way that, like, nobody... There was only, like, one guy who was too overdressed in that video. Like, everyone else was just, like, in just, like, freaking clothes, and that was nice to see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, like, I'll be curious to play that, and I have not said that about a Final Fantasy game ever.
I actually haven't been at all into Final Fantasy until now. I'm actually considering buying this one, and that's a lot for me. I always saw it as this unfathomable series that I would need to just, like, power through all these different games. But this standalone one, it looks really good.
Well, as long as it doesn't have a 2 after it, it's not... They are standalone. Like, that was 9 is actually a pretty good one. There's a lot of people who say that 8 is one of the best. 7, people love it, but it's terrible. Like, if you hear the stories about that, that game is literally unfinished.
Oh, and to clarify, we're talking about... Final Fantasy 15, I believe it is.
Yeah, 14. Well, no, 15, because 14 is an MMO.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 14 yeah. and 15 were announced at E3. We're talking about 15.
Yeah. Well, 14's been out.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. I think part of the trick was that what is now 15 used to be called Versus 13, even though we've already had...
Yeah.
13 and 13-2 Lightning Returns.
Yeah, they said that they didn't want to go with that unlucky 13, so they changed the name to 15.
Which is stupid. They made 2 13s.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Ah!
Well, it looks really good.
Yeah, no.
I gotta say, this time around, this E3, I'm gonna need about $3,000 to get everything I want out of this. There are a lot of good releases.
Even just there was a couple of indie things up on the stage at the Sony conference that looked good. Mercenary Kings was up there, which I know from when they held the Kickstarter, because that's the people of the head artist Paul Robertson, who did the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game. And the Galaxy, which was up there, that looks... It's a twin-stick shooter in space, and they might have said it's like open-world elements, so all right, I'm down with that. They're just gonna, like... There is a lot of good stuff. Dying Light, the one that I mentioned before, that's it's from the people who brought us it's from the people who brought us Dead Island, Techland, and basically what they're doing is they're doing Dead Island again. So it's a zombie game, survival, open world. You know, go around, get stuff, weapon combining, pretty much everything that is kind of standard for a zombie game these days. But they're adding parkour elements, so. Rather than just fighting all the time, there's going to be a lot more about fleeing as a viable option, about just, you know, climb up the side of a building, jumping across rooftops, bouncing off the head of zombies, which is interesting that they bring this up now, because the reason that Dying Light had me interested really is the coincidence that they're bringing it up with Mirror's Edge 2, because the year that Mirror's Edge was announced, I believe, was the year that it was either Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2 was announced. And the fact that those were back-to-back, since that year, I've been thinking about, like, well, how about, like, a zombie shooting game with lots of parkour running over roofs and stuff? And they're finally doing it. It had to take Techland a couple of games and, like, another Call of Juarez in the meantime, but they're finally making that game. So I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but I want to see it. I just want to see that concept finally come to fruition. Although a lot of people who have played it are actually saying it's pretty good. It's solid. It has everything you need. It is an improvement from Dead Island, which was a good game for like the first couple of hours and then was terrible. So, you know, when we get a full game out of it, we'll see how it holds up. But it looks promising. It looks like it'll be worth noting.
Well, I have a bone to pick with zombie games nowadays.
Yeah.
It seems as if so many movies, so many games, it's like about 50 of each, just shoot the head, get the limbs. It's like, how many things are you going to make off of a single concept of just zombies? I'm a little overwhelmed with that, with how many releases there have been throughout all years of just shooting the head of something that's coming at you. I'm a little bored with it. I'm not sure if I'll be interested at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if you're trying to make like a shooter or any kind of action game out of zombies, then yeah, it's going to be a super boring thing. But that's why Walking Dead from last year did so well, because it was a story-based thing. Like, for much of that game, you barely even saw zombies. They were just this scary thing that made everybody panic. That's what it's always been. Like, zombie things are interesting because it's always just like, there are zombies and they will eat your brains. But really, people are more dangerous, and that's always been the theme. But you can't express that theme so well because it's just like, well, I have a gun, so I got to shoot everything, and we can say there are lots of zombies. So
it's just it's a concept that has been twisted and used a lot, and not sure if I can give it another go, but I'll see.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, zombie games will sort of fade away soon.
As well as first-person shooters,
First-person shooters will never go away. Hopefully they may get more interesting, but they will never go away. People are still playing Doom.
Oh, my.
I'm still playing Doom. I was literally booting it up and playing it last night. What is
wrong?
Oh,
my.
Yo, you want to play some Doom? I'm looking to get some co-op action going on.
Oh, my God. Well, it's been a long time since I actually played first-person shooter. The last one I could do would have to be Halo 4, only because of how out-of-the-box, bouncing around, getting the shields, getting the power-ups on a rocket. That's the only thing that could get me to play it just on multiplayer. Mm. But first-person shooters, especially if it's realistic, you gotta do a lot to entertain me. I don't like first-person shooters anymore. Like, for how long have we just been shooting things in games?
For a long time, but then again, I don't know. The idea of, precision and marksmanship goes really far back. I mean, when you want to consider that, early weapons, the slingshot and the yo-yo, which are now toys, all started as just weapons and about I can hit that from here with this. How much money do you want to put down on it? Like, I want to say there's something instinctual about being able to shoot stuff.
I suppose, yeah. But it seems as if I played so much of it, it's like, what can you do? Yeah. Nothing, really.
Although, going back to things looking forward to, Titanfall. That, I need that.
I haven't seen that. What is it?
It is a third person or first person? I want to say it's a first person shooter. But with a lot of traversal elements, you can do wall running. You have a double jump boost backpack, stuff like that. Multiplayer focused. I think last time I heard they're saying there will be sort of single-player elements, but everything you do will be multiplayer, which, now thinking about it, seems scary, because that was also how they described Brink, which totally flopped. But also sort of thing about Titanfall is the namesake comes after the fact that after you, charge long enough in a match, you can call in an orbital drop of a giant robot and then jump into that and just start laying waste to fools. So there then becomes a thing about scales, about, everyone on foot is having battles and everyone in robot is fighting against each other. And then when they start, shooting between those battles and people are way more agile, but the robots can take and deal more damage. So that was also a game that on the floor when they were showing demos of it, they had 15 person multiplayer matches going and it was very honest and very real, and everyone was saying that because it was so honest, since they were seeing what actual gameplay looks like, that game looks extremely promising and extremely exciting.
That raises a point that the Xbox One, they've been flopping a lot lately. I forgot to mention earlier, but PS4 is $100 less than the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is. Which apparently they were sitting on that specific slide until they heard from the Microsoft conference. Apparently they were ready to just match whatever Microsoft said, and then when Microsoft went that high, they were just like, bitch, we can do $100 less.
Oh, wow.
And they changed it while they were there at the show before they went on. That's just you're just sticking it to them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they definitely got the crowd agreeing with Sony a lot more than Xbox. But with the Xbox One, when they were doing gameplay demos, I see there's a report that several eyewitnesses reported. For the demos for the Xbox One, they were not being played on Xbox Ones. They were being played on high-powered PCs, which raises the point, why?
What? No, I mean, to be fair, you have to throw that away because at E3, a lot of that stuff is sort of all like debug and in development stuff and stuff that was cobbled together just for a show. So I would not be surprised if most of the stuff, you know, most of the PS4 stuff was also on high end PCs.
I mean, like, what they're trying to do is impress people with like the software that they've developed, but they're saying pretty much a PC can do what the Xbox One can do, but better.
I mean, that's what the PS4 is saying, is there, you know, when they had their reveal and the dude came out and was just like, it's just PC hardware, folks. Like, you can go and get this shit on the shelf. Like, I don't think anybody's trying to hide that. Like, people are going to point at Microsoft and be like, well, what are you trying to hide? They're not trying to hide anything. Like, it's all couched in their stupid, like, marketing language, but they're not trying to hide it. Like, that is what this generation is doing. This generation is just being like, well, we saw how the PS4 went, or how the PS3 went wrong, so let's just make stuff that's easy to develop for. And that's what they're doing. And but the part that brings Microsoft down is, like, they're trying to go out of the box and be like, we're going to do, like, you know, cloud computing power, and that's actually going to, like, that's going to actually let them do more powerful things, but that is why that thing is always online, is because you need it even for the single player experiences. And that's I don't think people understand that. I think people see that as Microsoft trying to be like, no, you need to be always online so we can see what you're doing. I don't think that's what it is. I think it needs to be always online because the box that they're creating is an online box. Like, it loses a large part of its functionality if it's not online.
Huge flaw in itself, though.
But that's the thing. Like, in the situation where that box can be online, it's not a flaw. It's a bonus. The fact that it can, you know, it can be more powerful, it can do more interesting things, that it has all of this server side stuff, like, that is extremely cool. But, you know, if you want to look at it from the consumer, like, but that's from like a development standpoint in an ideal situation. If you want to look at it from like general consumer, like, if you ever
go on vacation, if you ever leave your house, if you ever go to a friend's house, it's like, well, what can you do with it?
If you have internet where you're going, I'm pretty sure it'll work, unless you're going to one of those 21 countries. Like, that's the thing. Like, their thing about it is, like, they're aiming this to a demographic that has internet all the time and stays home.
Right.
And who also, like, watch cable and want to be doing Skype calls on the same screen where they're playing games or watching Netflix.
And like, who always has friends over as opposed to playing online.
No, they want you to be always online. Like, they don't...
That's what I'm saying. They want you to invite your friends over to your system instead of playing online with other people.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're expecting, like, one person, one box, everyone stays home and plays over the internet. Like, part of their spiel, they didn't talk too much about it, but, like, they're going to try and make, you know, Xbox Live bigger and better and, you know, do more things with it. Like, they know that there's a large demographic that I guess works that way, where, you know, everyone has their own box and stays home and has the headsets and, you know, that. But, like, I don't know if that is actually what their, like, demographic is, because it really feels like they are aiming at a demographic which they have, like, very clearly spelled out, but does not really exist. It's like, yeah. Who is going to, you know, have cable and always online and, you know, but stays
and
home and, like, those people exist, I'm sure, but, you know.
Maybe 2% of your consumers, but...
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to be successful if it's... And the thing is that, like, it's not just, like, it's aimed towards them. It is tailored for them to the exclusion of a number of other people who don't have, you know, reliable internet service, who, you know, isn't in a friend group where, you know, everybody has their own box when they all want to get together. Like, there's a lot of people, like... For that one group of people that they are aiming for, it is going to work extremely well. But to the exclusion of the others is what I think its big fault is that
they've lost people's hope.
They've lost people's money. It's just like, it's like, you were doing good stuff and you had this online and, you know, it had a lot of good games. On the case of multi-platform games, had the better versions with the better multiplayer access, and that's, you know, part of what happened with Microsoft. It wasn't even like they had a killer app. It was just like a lot of the games that you could get on either, you wanted to get it on Microsoft because the hardware was easier to develop for, so you got better versions of those games. And because they had the better online service, you could actually get in, you could make parties, you could group chat, all stuff that is possible on PlayStation, but just harder to do, less elegant, less accessible. So, I mean, and that's the other thing, like, because of what they're doing with the Always Online and just all the things that Microsoft is doing to turn people off to their system, that doesn't mean PS4 is actually going to do it better. Like, honestly, I'm expecting that people are going to have, like, kind of like a grumpy time on PS4 because of like interface things and, you know, getting things to work smoothly. But the difference is that this generation, it used to be, you know, you look at that and you go, ooh, and you go to 360. This generation, you look at the one and you go like, no. And then you go to PS4. So it's the lesser of two evils.
The PS3 has no games joke is pretty much done. They have a lot of solid releases, even off of day one.
Yeah. Well, again, if you look backwards, like, they have a ton of games, a lot of them being multi-platform games. But it's just, a lot of times they were the best version of those games. They may look the best, but if you start taking into consideration, you know, like, multiplayer features and load times and updates and all those things, like, sometimes they were not the best.
I've made this point before, but it's kind of funny what's happening to Microsoft. They just made this huge mistake, and they're clearly going to lose a lot of money off of it. It's just generally so inferior to the PS4. This happened to Sega. Sega stuck around to this day because it had iconic characters like Sonic and Ooh La La and Knights. But
you're just Microsoft... naming the roster from Sonic and All-Stars Racing Evolved, aren't you?
Oh, I was actually thinking about the releases that they've made throughout the years. But Sega has people that keeps them around. Microsoft, who do they have? They have, like, the guy from Gears of War, Master Chief. That's kind of it. They're almost done if they don't make some huge impact. They may become the Dreamcast 2. The Dreamcast 2 being the last system Sega ever put out. So, a lot of things are happening. And Microsoft is going to make a lot of hard decisions in order to keep up with the competition.
See, but it's kind of like I was saying about Nintendo. Like, Nintendo kind of manages to quote-unquote win because, you know, they're established, people are going to buy their stuff anyway, and also because it's cheaper, but, you know, they're making more profit because their hardware is cheaper, but the prices are kind of comparable. But and so, like, in a similar way, like, don't forget that, like, Microsoft doesn't just make the Xbox. Microsoft makes Windows. Microsoft is now getting into the tablet game. Like, Microsoft has a number of other ways to generate money. Like, so this may be, it's this weird thing. It's like the Xbox will only die as sort of like a console and a brand if Microsoft says you have failed too much and chooses to let it die. If they wanted to, if somebody had a great idea and said, no, we're coming back, they can feed more money into it because they're getting money from other places. Same thing with Sony. They make TVs. They make a lot of stuff that, you know, there's other ways that these companies are getting money. If anything, Nintendo is winning at video games because they need to be good at video games because otherwise they are nothing. That is what happened to Sega. Like, so it's weird to make a Sega comparison because, like...
I'm saying as far as the gaming industry goes, that as far as, like, making games, making systems, making consoles, being in that field, I think Microsoft might be done.
I don't know if they're done. That's the thing, like...
I'm saying they might be. They might come back and do something, but...
Well, that's the thing. The only reason I would say they wouldn't is because it's not like if this fails, they're out of money. If they can look at it and go like, well, you know, we had like a when we came out, we had like a decently successful system, and then we had like the winning system for a generation. And if this one flops, they can just say, what did we do wrong? Let's do it next time, or, you know, let's try again to be leaders next time. Like, if this system fails, which I don't think it will, I think it'll stay long enough to have an Xbox after the one, but if that one really flops, then we might not see another. But this will not be the end of Microsoft. That's just what I'm calling.
And I guess to wrap it up, there are a few more other releases that we might want to get into. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, New Zelda, Wind Waker for the Wii U, they're remaking, and
HD,
A Link Between Worlds for the 3DS. Actually, that looks very good.
Yeah, but I'm curious about that because I like me a 2D Zelda. They just put Oracle of Ages and Seasons on the 3DS eShop, and I picked that up, and I'm loving it. I don't care if it's a Game Boy Color game. It's still really good.
Yeah, they're trying to add in aspects from that and using the three-dimensional system that they have in the 3DS, but it looks like, well, Zelda really never disappointed anybody when they made a release, so I think we can look forward to it.
I mean, you could kind of make an argument that Skyward Sword was kind of a disappointment, even though, like, I'm sure it was fun, but, like, didn't do enough. Twilight Princess, I started that game, never had the urge to finish it, and I guess Majora's Mask was always hotly contested, but in general, yes, like, everyone is interested when a new Zelda game comes out.
There's also Batman Arkham Origins, a Sonic game, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on another episode.
What else there is? There is a lot. A Deadpool game that's coming out later this month.
Mm.
That actually looks really good if you've seen it. I've seen some gameplay, and it looks... remember that old Wolverine Origins game that came out?
Yeah.
It looks a bit like that, but refined.
Wait, was that the Silicon Knights one?
I don't think it was Silicon Knights. It was for the movie. It was for the movie Wolverine Origins. And they released the game specifically from the movie. It was actually a really good release. One of the few superhero movie games that have actually succeeded. It looks a bit like that, but of course a lot better now.
Yeah, alright, it could be alright, yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about Deadpool, so I have no horse in that race.
Hyperactive mercenary. He has the healing factor of Wolverine, which means he can pretty much heal from any wound ever, but he has an incredible personality that is completely overactive. He cracks jokes every second when he's killing somebody, when he's doing absolutely anything. Constantly making, like, internet memes, jokes to himself. He has, like, a self-conscious inside of him of, like, two voices in his head that he constantly has conflicts with. He's a lovable guy. And the fact that they're making a game off of him, I want to get it.
That's fine, but that totally sounds like a dude I do not want to hang out with.
Yeah, he would actually be pretty... God. You would not want to hang out with him. He actually kills people by accident very often. People he is supposed to protect sometimes. But, well, yeah.
I can empathize with that, I guess. Yeah, I mean, anything else, or...
Pokemon X and Y. I think that's about it for everything I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we knew that was coming. I'm thinking I might get back in on Pokemon with that, but eh.
Fairy types?
It's going to be Pokemon. It's going to be Pokemon.
Fairy types?
Pokemon France.
Fairy types? I'm very confused about that.
I don't know.
Everybody wanted a light type to... conflict with the dark type, but
fairy type works.
Yeah, this is,
I'm not gonna say it's the perfect idea, but it works.
Yeah.
And that kind of sums up Pokemon for the last couple of generations. Oh.
Yeah, they're adding a lot of new things that are actually making me look forward to it. I have a 3DS. I haven't gotten a game for it in a long time, except for the very disappointing Sonic Generations. But
yeah, I bet that was bad on 3DS.
That was. Absolutely horrid, but I think I want to get X and Y.
Get some eShop stuff. I've gotten a couple games off of eShop, and that's like, haven't been disappointed by any of them. Especially because a lot of stuff has demos.
Last thing, Yoshi's New Island. I know a lot of people personally that would really want to get that, because just remembering the old Game Boy game, how good it was. Ah.
Game Boy?
Game Boy Advance, actually.
Well, okay, yeah, the Game Boy Advance one was like the re-release of the SNES, which was the original one. There was also Yoshi's Island DS, which apparently got a bad rap, but I thought was pretty good. Like, I made my way to the end of that one. That was all right. That was fun. Man, people are weird. not liking things that are all right, liking things that are kind of terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's society for you.
But by that logic, the Xbox One is going to do just fine.
Well, yeah, does that wrap everything up?
Yeah, let's go to the outro. This has been an Aliku Studios podcast. You can get show notes for this episode at alikustudios.net/podcast. While you're there, you can check out all of our other episodes. You can also check out the webcomics and, like, other projects that we work on at Aliku Studios. If you would like to send feedback to the show, you can email us at podcast@alikustudios.net. You can also find us at Aliku on Twitter, facebook.com/Aliku, and aliku.tumblr.com. If you like what you've heard, or if you just want to do it to be nice, you can leave us a 5-star review when you look us up on the iTunes Music Store. You can also find us on the Zune Marketplace, if that still exists. So, until next time, We're signing off and saying remember to give credit where credit is 25 cents per play.